Welcome to the Breaking Through Podcast with Aaron Teach, where we explore how to live a spiritual life in modern times. A topic that's come up a lot this week in my sessions has been around issues related to social media. And clearly it is a pivotal social, cultural issue at this point. And there are endless avenues we can take in exploring it. But the one that has come out of the sessions this week and that feels most insightful is around identity and relating to spirituality.
Identity and spirituality. I'm going to need more.
So essentially, you know, what is the essential process behind spirituality? And it is aiming to identify, experience, and live consistently from our most authentic, essential self. And within a meditative spiritual context, that's not talking about our passions or our visions or our preferences. It's a much more structural idea. This idea that we have this flow of awareness that we can attend more or less to. And there is all this peripheral activity happening in our brains and in our minds, which deviate our attention and put us out of touch with what's actually happening internally and externally at any given moment. Mm-hmm. And so the essence...
It's the mind that takes us away from our spiritual connection.
Sure.
Okay.
And so this idea of spirituality, of identifying what is all the extraneous activity that we misidentify as ourselves and ultimately distract us from what's happening. How can we identify that and quiet it enough so that we can first identify what is our essential reality? What is at the core of our experience? And once we identify that, how consistently can we operate from there and be in contact with it? And that has always been a much easier process, that's said, than done. And the way that's generally couched in spiritual traditions is around the dynamics of our own minds, is acknowledging that our natural tendencies of our own minds are often the problem. Tendency towards distraction, towards jealousy, towards anger, towards acting out, towards all sorts of behaviors of desire, of wanting, that move us away from ourselves, at least the way that I'm identifying it in this context of spirituality. And so this idea is that we're already hardwired with the chips stacked against us. And it's about finding a way to strategically have a tool set, of which meditation is only one, to recognize these natural tendencies and gain some kind of conscious hold over them so they don't dominate us.
Some power over the mind.
Exactly.
But everything you just described... jealousy, distraction, desires. I mean, that's social media in a nutshell.
And that's part of why we're taking this angle about talking about social media. Because if we think about the spiritual project, it's already a very, very difficult task. But its primary insight, if you will, is that our ordinary desires and tendencies can be problematic. And rather than naturally just following through with them, I want this, I get this, I want more, we need to find a way to see how dissatisfying they are in the long run and try and short circuit them so we can connect to something else, something deeper, something that has more essence and more potential for lasting satisfaction. Without any external challenges, the game is already hard. What we begin to see in a lot of the activities around market economies, and this will not be a lecture in economics, is that a lot of what's happening requires popularity. And a lot of that popularity often leverages these less essential aspects of ourselves and then creates a potential for amplification around them. So if what we're aiming for in spirituality is to kind of curtail a lot of our desires, and I say that with an asterisk, because what I mean by desires is a little different than what's often commonly thought of, but maybe we'll save that for another podcast. So we don't take too big of a tangent here. We're looking for our essential identity at the deepest core of our consciousness, even within the dynamics of our own mind. Forget your relationships and extrinsic to that. We're already have, within meditative definitions, a whole bunch of illusion of thoughts and ideas and emotions that feel part of us, but are actually relatively superficial to our core essence.
Yeah.
And we haven't even ventured outside of our skin at this point into our relationships, our material goods, and now in social media, virtual,
everyone else in the world.
Yeah, virtual identity, virtual projection.
Well, I mean, it's a crazy world that we're living in right now, when we can go on Twitter and look up the most recent thoughts of our president, our lawmakers, our movie stars, our athletes. I mean, it's really an incredible time, but also incredibly distracting.
Yeah, and one question that I'm asked a lot is, should we all get off of it, and or how should we manage ourselves properly? And that the latter question is a better one. There's no stopping it. And like all things in technology, the technology is neither good nor bad. It's about how we engage it. However, the way things can be structured can more or less take advantage of our susceptibilities. And the nature of social media and the incentives, certainly behind the companies and their grappling for our attention, is well known and researched at this point as being problematic for us. But where I hope this can be insightful and interesting is around this conception of identity, of acknowledging that at root our fundamental programming is about being evolved social apes that lived in trees in groups of up to 150. Social apes were not the biggest or the strongest animals or the sharpest teeth. Their survival was dependent on working as a group and coordination within a group. And so there was a lot of programming within the DNA and within the neurology of ape brains around social dynamics, rank, who am I relative to others in the group, fitting in. If someone says something negative to us or does something negative, that has a deep survival impact, because if an ape were kicked out of the group and left to an individual's own devices, that ape would not survive. And so gelling with the group and reading the cues of social interaction to be able to stay in the group is deeply embedded within the structures of our brains as evolved apes. And that used to happen within an intimate group of 150 maximum chimpanzees. But now what we have on social media is this network of billions of connections that we don't actually have firsthand exposure to. And it creates a lot of challenges. Part of our essential thrust as all individuals is trying to figure out, who are we? And at what level of operation do we define ourselves? And that takes us back to the beginning of this conversation, this idea that meditative traditions posit that there is an essential level at the foundation of our awareness and our minds that is accessible. And there are all these layers on top that we need to quiet so that we can penetrate to that deeper place. So social media creates this meta layer above that very often takes us farther from that.
From our center.
From our center.
Our true identity.
So now we have this whole other arena of potential misidentification. And that's what we see. Part of what we're individually looking for is social acceptance, going back to our ape origins. And so what it means to curate this incredible image of oneself and one's family in some place that gets projected to the world, that gets the strong feedback of, oh, how amazing or how wonderful, hits a lot of dopamine receptors in our brains. It's a hit. It's a drug hit that makes us feel good in a short-term sort of way. There are a number of challenges with this, though. You know, first, and part of the big picture around this is acknowledging that in reality, everything is balanced. So the essential principle of existence is around balance. So whatever has a positive movement forward always has some negative aspect that balances it. So this idea that we're projecting this image of ourselves that makes us individually feel good when we get the hit.
The likes.
Exactly. Has a shadow side. Part of that shadow side is around making other people feel bad. Yeah. Is that we are driven towards rank. Where do we compare with other people? And so when we see images of other people seeming to thrive, it very often makes people feel bad about themselves. And that is clearly a dominant process that's happening socially, especially amongst younger teenagers and high schoolers and middle schoolers. That is an epidemic issue we don't have a handle on whatsoever. But within the realm of this conversation, there's a more important shadow side, which is, if one is projecting that kind of virtual image on social media to feel good about oneself, then you're leaving yourself on the shadow side susceptible to feeling bad about yourself on those very same criteria. So what it means to put an image of yourself on there with your family, dressed to the nines, looking good, you're now self-defining that these are important criteria for success. These are the things that I'm hinging my sense of self on and I feel good about. So then suddenly when you see someone else who's slightly dressed a little nicer and are in a nicer hotel or with seven people instead of five people, you are individually setting yourself up to feel bad proportionally to the degree to which you felt good with the projected positive image.
So it sounds like maybe we just shouldn't participate at all in social media.
Well, there, like everything, it's a mixed bag. I think part of what's incredible about social media and part of its relevance and what makes us human as well is about exchange. What has allowed humans to become humans for better and worse and their place on this planet has been through shared information, shared identity that we can build off of for what we might call progress. And so that capacity for a platform for sharing ideas, insights, experiences is a powerful and potentially and often very positive thing. The real question that differentiates positive and negative in any arena is often about intention and motivation. What is the intention and motivation when one posts? And throughout this conversation, I've taken a particular angle that has come up in my conversations a lot this week. So it's on my mind and seeing it on other people's minds. So the real question is, why are we posting and what are we hoping to get out of it? If we have some real insight that we're genuinely looking to share and we're finding true engagement the way that one would find in a wonderful conversation or a wonderful relationship, the potential to be able to connect with groups of people that aren't in your immediate location to establish this kind of community is unprecedented and phenomenal.
Yeah. And I do think that some of the best things that go viral, like the ones that I find myself sharing, really do move me. You know, they're videos or quotes or whatever that really sort of touch your soul. And so the ability to share this, you know, soul-moving video or quote or whatever, and have it sort of ripple around the world, that's sort of cool that we can, in that way, use social media to sort of increase compassion or raise our awareness. Yeah. That part of it's, I think, wonderful.
Absolutely. And I am on board with that. I think the challenge of it, and we're intentionally honing in on that part of it here, is that it becomes a real minefield for our psycho-emotional limitations. Jealousy, comparison, trying to be better than other people, defining ourselves in relation to other people in certain ways. And what seems to motivate many people sometimes is this kind of curated image that makes people feel better or look better, and to kind of project that image into the world. And that has repercussions negatively for the people who are receiving that, and in turn has repercussions for the people posting it because of what they're identifying as their essential identity, what they're looking for in satisfaction and that momentary hit of positive feedback, and the susceptibility that they have for feeling worse about themselves because of these relatively superficial criteria where someone is always going to be better, and the incessant need to continue to keep outputting in order to continue to feel good about oneself.
And, right, because you're not dressed to the nines every day. So if the only day you feel good is when you are dressed to the nines and post a family pic, then you're setting yourself up for most days not getting that dopamine hit. Because most days, we're not looking our best. Mm-hmm.
And so we have created in this particular expression of social media engagement that we're exploring here, this virtual identity, which is not essentially defined in who we are and how we operate. And so it becomes this layer of activity and engagement which takes us farther away from ourselves, not closer. And perhaps that's how we define satisfaction. What we're looking for is deep, genuine, sustainable satisfaction. This is not a moral question. Is it good or bad to post? Is it better to meditate or not meditate, etc.? It's about how do activities make us and others feel? And the spiritual premise is that the closer we are into essentially what we are in our fundamental identity, and the more we authentically operate from that place, the more satisfied we are going to genuinely feel, and the more positive impact we're going to have on others and the world around us. It's a very practical, functional definition, not a moral one.
Yeah.
And so it then begins looking at arenas of activity to ask, how does this make us feel? And how does it make us feel within time and within depth? It feels really good to get very positive feedback on a post that one's had. But how deeply and for how long? And I think we will all be hard pressed to find anyone who has relative sustainable satisfaction from a single post and the feedback they get. So, and as we've already discussed, you're then setting yourself up for tremendous negative reactivity in those arenas in relation to other people's engagement.
So what do we do? What do we do about this?
Well,
one, meditate.
No, it's not just about meditation. I think it's about recognizing what the game is about. And as always, and as we talk about in here, allowing meditation to be one tool in that process. Part of what makes spirituality spiritual is that it's timeless, that the essential principles are present in any context at any time. But the contexts and the dynamics and the tools in any given context do change. But they really just upregulate or downregulate, amplify or decrease what are natural tendencies in our own mind. We are living at this moment for a variety of reasons, one of which are the incentives of a market economy. Again, a conversation for another time. That a lot of the social, cultural, popular dynamics amplify the very mental, emotional tendencies that take us farther away from ourselves.
From our true identity.
And it is part of why I think we have unprecedented levels of dissatisfaction, depression, anxiety, and stress. We're working harder and harder. We're putting out more and more content, but all of it in an arena that's actually several degrees farther away from our intrinsic self, not taking us closer. The machine is huge, and the issue is about each of us as individuals figuring out how to engage. It's the old Buddha saying, if the world is covered in thorny bushes, don't begin by taking
hedge trimmers
and chopping away. First put on some very thick-soled shoes, and then you can trim away as much as you can. But there are always going to be more bushes than you can chop away. So the question for each of us is, how do we engage with this animal that is and will continue to be part of
modern life, which is social media. So social media is the thorny bush.
It's the thorny bush. Not necessarily, though. I think the question is, what is the intention and motivation for engagement? And recognizing that sharing and exchanging is one of the most beautiful and powerful things that we do as human beings. The question is what and why. And the indicator, whether we're on the right track or not, is how it makes us feel. The human system, energetically, hormonally, neurologically, is a feedback loop. When things are satisfying in a sustainable, deep, true way, and we're having positive impact on other people, that's feedback that we're engaging authentically.
Yeah. It's like there's nowhere to say on it.
No. I think there's a lot more to say on social media in general.
Well, yeah.
But I think in this arena of identity and asking that very simple question, who am I? What am I in my essential structure? And part of the posit here is you are a flow of attention and experience at a fundamental level. You're inhabiting a space and a time at any given moment. And is your attention coordinated and present for that and grounded in it? Or is it somewhere else?
And how distracted are we?
And the answer to that question now is we are more distracted in this moment in time than in the history of humanity. Is that a good or a bad thing? The tools can be used beautifully, but they can also be used destructively. And the nature of our natural tendencies has a predilection for using them more harmfully than positively. And I think we do see that on average in how people are engaging, and we evaluate that by people, how people are feeling and responding.
Yeah. Well, your listeners can even do a little experiment here and just ask themselves, how do I feel after 10 minutes of meditating? versus how do I feel after 10 minutes on social media? Now, that's tricky, because when someone first starts meditating, it's not very comfortable. But after, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of meditating for 5 minutes a day, it becomes very pleasant. So I think you'd have to save this experiment until you, after you got over that hump with meditation. But it's just night and day, the difference of how you feel after those experiences.
You know, for me, ironically, in our conversations, I keep steering us away from meditation as you drive us towards it. And it's recognizing, rather than meditation versus social media, it's about passive engagement or active engagement. Mm-hmm. So we can say the same thing about a focused, connected conversation with a friend or a family member.
Yeah.
Or sitting and creating something and writing something, rather than passive consumption or projected image creation for the sake of projecting a false image. How can we get more real and more connected? Meditation is one methodology, one technique, but so is connecting with other human beings in real, grounded ways. And the solution to this problem, this issue, at least in its problematic end of the equation, is getting more real, getting more connected to what's actually happening in real time, internally with ourselves and externally with the people who we are truly connected with and care about. So, thanks for tuning in here. And if there is homework here, explore yourself around social media when you're on there. Why are you on there? What are you looking for? How do you engage and why do you do it that way? And play with an experiment over this month, doing something that's not just receiving, something that's active, socially connected in real life, maybe a hobby or a project, certainly meditation, and feel what it's like to be present in real time. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next month. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to find out more about my offerings, including one-on-one phone-based sessions and retreats and workshops, you can find out more on my website, aaronteach.com. That's www.aaronteach.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and make sure to share it with your friends. Talk to you next time.